Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's NOOM.com to sign up for your trial today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitchless.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 20th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I really do apologize for the late one today. We had a little bit of an issue, sadly, on the site. If you know about pitcher gifts, it started because I wanted to create a pitching gift database 10 years ago. Back in 2013, I had this idea and it come to fruition. And from that, we've become PitcherList. Well, sadly, our gift database doesn't work because our hosting service eradicated their servers, essentially. And we're figuring out all of our options to get that back. It's such a core foundation of what we do. I know a lot of you don't actually use the player pages as much as I do, of course. But we do have a gift for every single pitch thrown by every single pitcher. And it's so important for us that that's there. So I have been spending a lot of time today trying to figure out all of our options. If you want to help us get this back, because essentially we have to recreate the entire database, which we will do. But if you want to help, reach out to me on Twitter. Send me an email at info@pitchless.com. We can use all the helping hands we get. We have a process that we're going to be using to make this. On the good side, it likely means that we're going to do a new batch of 2023 gifts in season, which we normally don't do. And it would mean that players who have come up this year that we're excited about, they would have gifts added to their pages now. So that'd be really fun. But yeah, it's a bummer. It's one of those things, maybe one step back, two step forward. We're going to spend a lot of time on it. And I apologize again for the late podcast because I've been dealing with all of that. All right. Reed Detmers was my lead yesterday. 5.2 innings, 300 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 12 strikeouts. He earned a golden goal, 24 whiffs, 39% CSW. Thank you. Now, keep in mind, this was a careful Icarus as he went into the sixth and he allowed his final 2 earned runs after getting pulled with 2 outs after striking out the first 2 batters in the sixth. He then allowed a walk and then 2 singles, scoring 1 run. They got pulled from the game and both players came around. Oh, man. And it's so annoying. Detmers just cannot escape these sixth innings. He keeps going 5 and change and he'll get there. What's really interesting about this to me is that the slider was just so good. 17 over 45 whiffs on that pitch for Reed Detmers. Yes, quick math there. That's like a 38% swinging strike rate on that pitch. 47% CSW overall on it. Detmers has this four-seamer that was better in this one, and also a curveball that I think should improve, and this slider is here to stay. That foundation is still there. I often talk about you need to have 2 elite pitchers if you're a 2-pitch pitcher. He should be a 3 with that curveball, but considering that slider is that good, I do think the four-seamer and curveball do get better to really complement it, and I think Detmers, as he turns 24 in July, is only going to improve at the big league level. That said, this does feel like a peak at this moment. And this might be more of a generalized 2024 thing for Reed Detmers as he continues to improve. So I don't want to tell you that, oh yeah, 12 strikeouts, this is what he does all the time. But yeah, this is kind of what's hiding inside. I hope you guys understand why I've been so amped about him. Someone else who also had a phenomenal outing was Michael Kopech. 8 innings, 0 earned runs, 1 hit with 0 walks, 10 strikeouts against the Royals. How did he do this? 20 whiffs, 39% CSW, 98 pitches. He earned a gold star because I had no expectations of this because we just can't expect anything from Kopech. And what did he do? 96-97 on the four-seamer, 42% CSW and 15 whiffs on that pitch alone. It was the best commanded four-seamer I've seen all year from Kopech as it was all upper third and very much inside the zone. So he just kept chucking it. And then you have curveballs and sliders that, yeah, they'd be down a decent amount, but not really exceptionally, but better than actually I've seen from Kopech. But this was amazing. Now, I don't really buy that Kopech is going to continue doing this. He hasn't really been doing this. You know, he's had these starts before, and then Kopech kind of falls away. But then against the Guardians next. So the floor of chasing this is actually somewhat decent. I mean, sure, he could still falter and be bad, but might as well chase that, right? Maybe this actually does stick around, and he has 96-plus velocity with those four-seamers actually in the zone and well-commanded. I don't know. It seemed kind of like a screw it, I'm just going to throw as I want to game, and he nailed it, and maybe that continues. That'd be really, really cool. Shane McClanahan, ace is going to ace. Ace is going to ace there. Adrian Hauser almost had a gold star as well. Six innings, zero and runs, four hits, one walk, four Ks. I mean, if it weren't for Kopech, he would have earned it. But yeah, he throws fastballs and it worked out for him here. And yeah, this isn't going to work long term. Tony Gonsolin, five innings, zero runs, one hit, three walks and three Ks. Only 17% CSW on the splitter, 16% on the slider. Velocity was still there, 93. Good CSW on that fastball, but it just feels like, I don't know. I'm glad it worked against the Cardinals. It wasn't terrible command. The splitter was well located, got outs and all of that. It's just, this isn't exceptional to me. And it feels like the line makes it look better than it was. I mean, three strikeouts and three walks. You kind of can understand this. You get to Atlanta next. I feel like that's not going to be that good. But hey, the command is all right for Gonsolin. It's not like he's just being chaotic and everything. So we'll see. It's just a bad floor. Steven Matz, 4.2 innings, zero runs, one unearned, six hits, two walks, and six Ks against the Dodgers. Honestly, the man survived. Props to him. It doesn't feel like he's going to stick around too long in that Cardinals rotation. It's a six-man right now with Liberatore, and I feel like Liberatore is just going to own this, while Matz is the most likely one to get kicked out when he does falter. But I really do want him to succeed. I hope he, I don't know, can build off of this. I mean, it's still a bad whip. It's an 8 over 4.2 innings, which is not good. That's like almost close to a 2. It's like a 1.8 or something. Not what you want. Kyle Gibson against the Jays, 7 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 2 walks, 5 hits. You never know when Kyle Gibson is going to have that night. At least he has a chance to. So you can tuck that away for the desperate days, but man, you really don't want to rely on this too frequently. James Paxton, once again, did exactly the same thing. 6 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks, not as many strikeouts, but I mean, it was 96 inside the zone, and he just pounded with it. The cutter change curve are still not quite there. He kind of lived east and west with it and wasn't really getting it down in middle as we want to see. Just get there, and then you can kind of adjust, you know, away to lefties and all that kind of thing. But he's moving with all three, right? He's trying to figure out which one it is that's working. When we really saw James Paxton break out for the first time in his career, it was with that cutter down and in. That became the pitch for him as he moved away from changing curve, really away from the changeup completely. Now that he's reinventing himself, he can kind of figure out what he wants from his three secondaries that he's had in the past. So Paxton, I think, is just going to get better because this fastball, second game in a row, doing exactly the same thing, pounding inside the zone with success. It's just really a question of health at this point. It's always been that question, but now he's two starts in. I had a question today if you should be dropping Logan Allen or Tony DeScofani for James Paxton. I say yes, because losing Allen and DeScofani is not a major problem. And sure, you want to have them in your 12-teamers, but that's not really going to make or break your season, while Paxton is certainly performing at a level higher than them. So, probably he's going to hit the IL again, but you might as well get that value, then you'll assess that roster spot then. Marcus Stroman against the Phillies got the win, 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. Great to see that from Stroman as he's a Holly, and we feel really good about this moving forward. I mean, forget the other start, the blow-up, whatever, that happens. Johan Oviedo and Brandon Bylak both had these really interesting starts. So did Bryce Elder and Martin Perez and Joe Ryan. We're going to talk about all of those and today's and tomorrow's games after this break.
When it comes to weight management, we tend to put our focus on what we eat. But Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. And that's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. Try Noom today and see the results for yourself. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. to sign up for your trial today.
Johan Oviedo, 6 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. You're going to see the 3 walks and think, oh yeah, right, okay, he's chaotic, all that kind of stuff. Honestly, this was the best commanded game I've seen from Oviedo. His slider was working both backdoor to lefties and down and away to righties, and the fastball was around the edge. I mean, he went down and away to righties effectively with this. This was really, really encouraging. 50% sliders. He gets the Rangers next, but then it's the Giants in Oakland. And I do wonder if Oviedo does well against Texas. We're going to be loving that, especially with the Giants in Oakland next. I think I'm back in on Oviedo after this start. Do I want to start him against the Rangers? That's a 50-50. Depends on how my week is going in my head-to-head leagues. But I would want him against the Giants in Oakland. He might actually be set up for a two-start week that week. So I might want to get ahead of that one. Brandon Bylak against the Athletics. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 9 strikeouts against Oakland. Don't read too much into this. 10 out of 28 whiffs on the changeup is really nice. Good command of it, good precision. But I really don't think the 1.6 whip is the thing you want to chase against the Athletics, right, for Bylak. And he's not going to be a guy that you really want to consistently toss every 5 days. I'm sorry. I just don't want to do that. Even though he's the Brewers next, it's like that whip that scares me. And I feel like this was just a strikeout peak. Martin Perez did exactly what he was supposed to do against Rocky Road. 7 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, 7 Ks. He's a Toby. You'd love to see it. He gets Pittsburgh and Detroit next. Wonderful. Joe Ryan, ace is going to ace. 9 strikeouts, 2 earned runs in 6 innings. 8 base runners, fine. But this is fine. This is cool with the splitter and slider, each returning at least a 38% CSW. Also, listen to Alex Fast 101 interview with Joe Ryan if you haven't done that yet. It's on the Pitchless Podcast Network. It's also our individualized talking pitching feed. It's just where we do all of our starting pitching interviews. Those are evergreen. So definitely check those out. Bryce Elder, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts against the Mariners. 14 whiffs, 29% CSW. It's a dusty donut because of that 133 whip, but honestly, you're totally fine with that. No win because Bryce Miller was on the other side. I have to say, Bryce Elder has been performing better than I expected and looking further into it to really make sure that I'm not missing something. The slider is a major pitch for him, but it's allowing 32% hard contact with a 132 batting average allowed is just not right. And keep in mind, that's hard contact over plate appearances, not over when it's in play, which then includes also when plate appearances end with the strikeout, right? This is 24th percentile. So not good. Normally sliders that are like exceptional are easily under 20% hard contact. Like the best ones are like, whoa, this is a 10% hard contact pitch. 32% is bad, 24th percentile. And his sinker, his primary fastball that is 37% usage is also 24th percentile in hard contact at 42%. So anyone that wants to say, no, he's really good at mitigating hard contact and getting through lineups, I am terrified by this. The amount of, I think he's 170th percentile of how many at plate appearances when he faces a batter, how often it results in hard contact. The worst thing you can do as a pitcher. Yeah, he's doing it a ton. So this is going his way. I'm happy for him, but you want to not continue with Bryce Elder. If you can, sell high. Zach Greinke against the White Sox, 5.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. It's a Philly. It's very frustrating. He was at 86 pitches. You wanted to see the last out, but he just didn't get it. Whatever. Zach Greinke can kind of do this every so often, but like you don't want to rely on it too much. He does have a weak schedule, but whatever. Ben Lively against the Yankees, 5.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts, 56% CSW, and 8 over 25 whiffs on the slider. That's interesting. He threw it 30% of the time. He pitches for the Reds, by the way, if you don't know. I call him Raggedy Ann. It's a nickname that came up from 6 years ago, rooted in Minority Report and Lively. But this was against the Yankees. That slider, 30% usage. I wonder if he pushes that closer to 40 or even 50% because the other stuff is just not good. And you know the Wascarinoa rule. I don't do this when it's just one good pitch. But still, there's something. If it goes 50% sliders, then maybe he's a cherry bomb at best, and that's at least something. He gets the Cardinals next, so Ben Lively is not the thing that you want to chase. It's interesting. More interesting than I ever thought Ben Lively would be. Anthony Descafani against the Marlins did what he was supposed to do. 6 Ks, 7 base runners, 5.1 innings, 2 earned runs. Great. He gets the Twins and Pirates next. We start that. If you are thinking that you're going to hold Descafani through the entire year, don't. He's a Toby at best, right? I mean, that's just what he is. I'm glad to see that the fastball and slider were better commanded. Not even like excellently commanded. They were fine. Clark Schmidt against the Reds opposite Ben Lively. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. This is as good as we could have really hoped for. He was really sinker slider, sinker with 10 called strikes, slider doing most of the work as well. Do I think he's going to be a better or equal, I should say, Brady Singer? No. I think Clark Schmidt isn't really something that you want to chase in 12-teamers. 15-teamers, not really either. I think a streaming spot is better. Bryce Miller had a test against Atlanta. Is he going to be able to just do it with only fastballs? Pretty much yes. 6.1 innings, 300 runs, and it was a careful Icarus as he went 6 innings, 1 run before the 7th messed him up. Four hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. I mean, really, just allowed a pair of base runners got pulled, and that was that. And those both came around to score. Bryce Miller's still really good, and I think this is really a showcase of like how good that four-seamer is, regardless of the secondaries not really being much. Those are going to get better. And when I talk about the Wasker and Noah rule, it's usually a breaking ball, not a fastball. When the fastball is this good, the breaking stuff just needs to get a decent amount of strikes, and that's it. And that's kind of what Bryce Miller is doing at the moment. There is certainly a higher ceiling here for Bryce Miller when the slider and the cutter and all of this stuff just gets really good, or at least one of them becomes very dependable. So I'm a fan. and you should obviously be holding on to Bryce Miller as long as possible. Matthew Boyd against the Nationals got the win, I guess. I mean, look, we're not going into Matthew Boyd until we see slider whiffs. Only 4 slider whiffs were staying out of this one. Cal Quantrill, 5.2 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, 6 Ks. You're honestly happy with it because you're pretty much chasing 6 innings of exactly the same line from Cal Quantrill against the Mets. He's a Toby. He gets the White Sox next. We go with that. The sinker just gets a lot of O-swing, guys, and the cutter is good enough. Waldichuk had a walk per inning against the Astros because duh, and we do not touch that. Yusei Kikuchi, you really just stop doing it. Carl Kaufman made his debut for the Rockies in Texas. Kind of interesting, he went 7 for 16 whiffs on the four-seamer despite being 89 and 90. And the command is really good east-west. Kind of interesting for like a sneaky core start out of the blue sometime if he does get regular starts. I mean, Sensatella is out. Of course, so is Herman Marquez, so why not? But yeah, maybe when he's in Kaufman will do well. Jake Irvin, 2.2 innings. We don't care about this. Same with Ranger Suarez, 2 innings of 400 runs. Don't start these guys. Same with Carlos Carrasco. He's still ill. Fastball's at 92, not 93, 94. It's at least is better than like a 91 we saw, but Cubs, Phils, Atlanta next. We're not doing that. And then I want to talk about 3 very disappointing starts from yesterday. We're going to start with Sandy Alcantara, 5.2 innings, 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks. I'll put this bluntly. He's going to lose the ace. He's going to ace because he's not pitching like that. He's not getting it. But 17 whiffs and 31% CSW is... changeup has a 472 BABIP at the moment, but 10 more points of hard contact, but never, like, no pitch should have a 472 BABIP. You understand that? Like, even just from basic baseball, it should at least be, if it's bad, like a 350, not 472. So that's going to be better. He hasn't allowed a home run on it, at least. But the hard contact is higher. It should come down with time. He's still doing good things with the sinker and the fastball. His slider is getting fewer strikes, which I think is making him rely too much on the changes, why the walk rate's a little higher. That will click in. If you want to say that the Marlins defense is worse and the shift is messing up with Alcantara, I'm not going to disagree that it isn't a negative factor, but it isn't a 5 ERA factor, right? He's still getting a ton of whiffs. The strikeout rate should go much higher. You know, he's 15th best among all starting pitchers in swinging strike rate right now. So the strikeouts should come up. This is a wonderful buy low right now for Sandy Alcantara. I think people do want to get rid of him, and I'm in on that. I actually sold him in mine, but I needed Adolis Garcia, who then hit like 4 home runs this past week, whatever. But that was my situation. I needed to do it. I recommend buying low on Sandy Alcantara. You probably will get someone who feels like they got ousted. You can probably sell like Sonny Gray. Maybe you can make a deal like that. Something along those lines for a guy who is coming up and very excited, like Bryce Miller for Sandy Alcantara. I bet you can make that swap, and I would do it all day. Even you thinking like, I don't know, I love Bryce Miller. That's the point. That's why you do it. Okay. Zach Gallen against the Pittsburgh Pirates, 3.2 innings, 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 4 walks, 2 Ks. A very strange start. He really didn't have his command. Maybe it was the bird that he killed, unfortunately. God, that was so wild and ridiculous, and 2 Arizona guys doing it, with Randy Johnson, of course, being the other one. And it was a curveball, which, of course, my thought was like, well, he wasn't trying to hit it because it was a curveball. But that's so, I mean, I feel bad for the bird. Like, that stinks, but how wild is that? The absolute odds of it. Also, twice, and it's Arizona. Okay. Zach Gallen, much better than this. Good locations of the curve. Everything else was weird. Call strikes weren't there with the fastball. He wasn't getting it down. Strange. He's not this guy. And Blake Snell against the Red Sox. Oh, 4 innings, 6 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. I mean, I've expressed everything about this, right? Am I telling you to start them every day? No. If that means you don't want to, you want to chase something else on the wire, go ahead, do that. What I'm saying is that if you think of him like a prospect pitcher who you think is going to be dominant in 2 weeks, like, yeah, that's how you should treat Blake Snell. It's going to click. I do like the fact that he actually did lean more on sliders, and there were some that were really good. The four-seamer command actually was some of the worst I've seen from him this year. And I wonder if actually that would have amplified the slider better if he had that. A lot of them were down with the four-seamer as opposed to up, was not doing the Blake Snell blueprint. But treat him like a stash, you know? We're going to be looking back, but yeah, but since June, blah, 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 he was amazing. This is why you don't let go of Blake Snell. Honestly, you can let go of Blake Snell. It just depends on your situation if you can afford stashing a player right now or not. That's all. Roto leagues, I think the impact is better. But anyway, that's me. Looking forward to today and tomorrow's games. Scherzer, Webb, Nola, all easy starts here. Mitch Keller gets the Diamondbacks. So let's go. Chris Sale against Joe Musgrove is going to be a really fun game. I'm starting both, yes, including Joe Musgrove, even though the slider has been worse. The movement isn't as good. I think that's going to get better. John Gray against Rocky Road should be really fun. Logan Gilbert gets Atlanta, but the strikeout rate has been 30%. You obviously do that. And Lucas Giolito, even though he's not throwing 93, 94, and the change was worse last time, I'm still tossing him out there against the Kansas City Royals. I also will put Hunter Brown above Oakland. By the way, some of these games already happened. I am so sorry. Again, one of those days, but you saw this is the same exact thing as it was yesterday. So I'm just going to go through Zach Eflin, Tanner Bibee, Patrick Sandoval, Braxton Garrett, streaming pick of the day, Louis Varland, Brandon Fott. I haven't actually checked any of the games today, so I'm sure I was wrong about all of this. Questionable start here. JP Sears and Miles Michaelis. Sears gets the Astros and Michaelis against the Dodgers. Do not start tiers. Freeland, Weaver, Brito. Syndergaard, Tyone. Both of those guys, Syndergaard and Tyone, I don't know how many pitches they're going to go. Manoah versus Rodriguez is going on now. I'm very curious how that is going. Lauer, Patrick Corbin, Lyles, Fayedo, Chavez. I'm not starting any of those down here. I'm looking forward to tomorrow because it actually is actionable from when you're listening to this. Kevin Gausman, Shohei Ohtani, Framber Valdez are my top three. Valdez because it's the Athletics and I like what he's doing with the cutter. Kershaw and Wheeler get tougher opponents against the Cardinals and Cubs. That's why they are below, but I still like them as well. Verlander gets the Guardians. Wasn't very good last time against the Rays, but he should be better here. Pablo Lopez against the Angels. Big fan of that because it's Pablo Lopez. Jesus Lazardo gets the Giants. Let's go. George Kirby looking good against Atlanta. Not as confident as the others, but it still should be good. Merrill Kelly against Pittsburgh. It's Pittsburgh and it's Kelly. And Freddie Peralta has actually been a little bit shaky and he gets the Rays. So he's at the bottom of this with Merrill Kelly above because I feel like that's just a safer play against the Pirates. Probable start tier, Shane Bieber against the Mets. I don't know if the slider is going to be there. I hope it is and the Mets are weird. Lance Lynn against the Royals. I said it last time. The Guardians were really, really bad. Lance Lynn was pitching well, but the Guardians were an atrocity. We're not out of the woods yet. We need to see a trend here of Lance Lynn succeeding. But I hope this is going to continue here against the Royals. Andrew Heaney against Rocky Road is a wonderful stream. Strikeouts should be good. It's not really streamed because he's going to be rostered, but you should feel good enough with that high enough floor. Hunter Green against the Yankees, the strikeouts are just too much for me not to do that. And maybe he does survive. Justin Steele gets the fills. I feel like he's pitching worse without the slider getting the O-swing. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully the fastball is good enough. Josiah Gray against Detroit. You got to do that one, even though I'm not a huge fan of everything that Josiah Gray is putting together right now. And Alex Wood is a stream pick of the day against the Marlins. The Marlins are so bad without Jazz Chisholm in that lineup. Michael Wacha. And also, yeah, Alex Wood pitched enough pitches in the first still ill start to be good enough here. Michael Wacha, Jack Flaherty, and Luis Severino are in the questionable start tier. Wacha could have his command against the Cardinals. Sorry, against the Red Sox. Jack Flaherty for the Cardinals going against the Dodgers. I hope that it's enough. 93 plus in velocity, whiffs on the secondary stuff. We watched them on the YouTube channel. I think it's a good version of Flaherty right now, but I don't know if that's going to stick start to start. And Luis Severino is still ill against the Reds, but he did well in AAA. He was ready to go. He might get pushed 75 pitches or so. This could come out well for you, despite being still ill. And then do not start tier. Dean Kramer doesn't have a high enough ceiling to start against the Blue Jays. Joey Wentz maybe could work out against the Nationals, but again, not of a ceiling. Ronson Contreras is a bad fastball. I think this is too risky against the Diamondbacks. Corey Kluber doesn't do enough against the Padres. Jared Schuster against the Mariners hasn't done it yet. Cooper Criswell might be going for the Rays. I don't care. Don't want to do it. Connor Siebold against the Rangers. No way. Kel Muller. No way against the Astros. And whoever the Royals are doing, don't care against the White Sox. All right, that is it. Thank you so much for your understanding for this late, late podcast. I apologize once again. We'll be back to the normal schedule tomorrow. I have things I have to do in the afternoon tomorrow, so I have to get these out. So they're going to be very quick. You're going to hear from me very soon. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.